WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. While some FAA workers have gotten termination notices, Elon Musk's team is planning to look at air traffic control systems today for updating. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The FAA and air traffic controllers are using some outdated, antiquated equipment. They're going to talk to some of the air traffic controllers, learn about what the controllers like and dislike about the tools that they're using.
Life-threatening cold is gripping much of the nation's midsection. The South is recovering from floods over the weekend. 11 people died in Kentucky. Governor Andy Beshear.
We believe we have reached many, if not most, people that got trapped because.
Francis is hospitalized in Rome with a bronchial infection, which the Vatican calls complex. Dr. Celine Gounder.
Polymicrobial basically means that you have some combination of bacteria, viruses, and or fungi in the lungs.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced legislation to cap the cost of prescription drugs for millions. According to a press release, the Capping Prescription Costs Act would place a limit on out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs of $2,000 per year for individuals and $4,000 for families with private insurance. A similar measure was passed through the Inflation Reduction Act for senior citizens. Senator Baldwin says studies have shown 31% of people who need medication weren't taking it because of cost. State Republicans are proposing a bill that would help Wisconsin schools install and maintain water filters. The draft bill calls on school boards to develop plans to manage the drinking water to ensure students will not be exposed to things like lead or PFAS, which have been linked to negative health effects, especially in children. Governor Tony Evers has expressed support for the legislation, saying it seems to be in line with his efforts to promote safe drinking water in schools. Funding for the filters could come from previous PFAS legislation. The Menominee City Council has voted to approve an expansion of available parking spots for residents with parking permits. At their meeting last week, the council approved an ordinance change that would allow on-street day permit parking in certain areas. The added parking availability would cover the 500 block of South Broadway, the 100 block of 6th Avenue, the 300 block of Crescent Avenue, and multiple blocks along Wilson Avenue. The parking spots will also remain metered and available for public use. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is asking for input from community members on future construction plans for I-94 in Menominee. According to DOT officials, the project would include concrete repairs, repaving, and bridge work on I-94 from the Red Cedar Bridge to the bridge over Wilson Creek. Construction work is not scheduled to begin until 2027. Residents interested in providing feedback on the project can do so on the Department of Transportation website. Public comments will be accepted until the end of March. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers get national attention. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers making national headlines after their upset win at Purdue 94-84. Are they poised for a higher seed in the tournament when the selection committee meets next month? Head coach Greg Gard.
We got a lot of basketball left to play before that day comes, so. That's great. That means we got the attention of people, right? We're obviously playing good basketball. We're a really good team, and I think we're getting better. And that's the exciting part, that they know there's a lot more left to come. And, you know, that starts with, you know, our next game.
And the Badgers women's team with a win at Penn State yesterday, 75-68. They'll host Northwestern on Sunday afternoon. Baseball spring training underway. The Brewers' Christian Yelich asked how's he doing after that season-ending back surgery last summer.
Yeah, I feel fine. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't be ready for opening day.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Sunny and brutally cold today, with high temperatures flirting with 0 degrees and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. Tonight, we fall to overnight lows near 25 below, prompting an extreme cold warning, where it could really feel near 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 9 below zero.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer engineer for the day, Mr. Sam Davidson on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 16th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is sunny but chilly. Welcome in, everyone, from downtown Madison. Sam Davidson, 2 days in a row. Lucky for me. I'm not sure what you did to deserve this, but we're happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here still.
Mr. Zommer's feeling a little under the weather today.
Yeah, that's
so you
right.
were kind enough to come in today on, and I did not, I mean, I knew it was President's Day, but I came in earlier and I said to Lukester, Luke Mathers, I said, what the heck? Everybody's gone today.
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
And he says, well, Todd, it's President's Day. It's a company holiday. I said, really? Really? I did not know that we got President's Day off. I'm happy, but I'm sorry to make you come in. I mean, you were here earlier for the John and Gordy show.
I left like a little before 10 o'clock, so.
And then you said,
and then I came right back.
And then you're like, oh, crap. Now you work early in the morning, so
that's right.
Do you traditionally, after you get off, do you have breakfast then, or what is your routine normally during this time of the day?
I don't really have a routine. I don't know. It just kind of varies. Day to day. I eat breakfast like when I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Wow. So
all right. Well, I appreciate you coming in. Glad to have you here. And a shout out to Mr. Zommers. Hopefully he'll be feeling soon and back with us very soon. But always in the very capable hands of Mr. Davidson. So glad to have you along here on a Monday. And all of you as well. Big show today. It's gotten to the point now over the weekend as I keep track of the news. I feel like we're not, of course. But I feel like if they wanted another hour or two, we could just go for two or like 3 or 4 hours because there's so much going on. So we'll go through some of the headlines of the weekend. And then at the bottom of this hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about the spring election. Yes, that's right. Go to the polls tomorrow if you have not voted early already. Polls open at 7 a.m. tomorrow until 8 p.m. Biggest race on the ballot statewide is that of the state school superintendent. The incumbent, Dr. Jill Underley, is being challenged by a fellow Democrat in Jeff Wright, who has been on this program before, and also Republican-backed candidate Brittany Kinzer. Underley, of course, the incumbent in the DPI secretary position. Jeff Wright, the current superintendent of public instruction at the Sauk Prairie School District, for those that might not be from the area. It's just south of Wisconsin Dells, so southwest, south central, depending upon what you call that part of the state. But, Wright's been on the program before. Has talked about that while he is a Democrat, he has had to work with both Republicans, Democrats, and Independents at Sauk Prairie. It's a very purple county, Sauk County is. So he has that experience, and so that's why he is coming and wanting this position to work with everybody in the DPI role. And then on the Republican side, Brittany Kinzer, who is a education consultant being backed by Robin Voss and a lot of the private school folks. And so it kind of has to come down to two. Now, technically, yes, this is a nonpartisan position, but last 20-plus years or so, this position, as well as those on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, while technically they don't run as Republicans or Democrats, basically, you know, they become partisanized and both sides end up putting money into the race. So anyway, it'll be Underly, Wright, and Kinzer on the ballot for tomorrow. Two of the three move on to the April 1st general election. So we're going to preview that race after the bottom of the hour here in hour one. Also, there's a big mayor's primary race up on La Crosse. Our own Jimmy Cuskell will be following that. And come on back tomorrow night as well, as I'll be anchoring along with our Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media, at a cast of thousands. I understand that our own Earl Ingram will be on the broadcast as well, and others, and we'll be doing a couple of things, kind of lost in the shuffle. Governor Tony Evers giving his annual budget address tomorrow night. Now, this is different than the state of the state. The budget address is more of a technical speech that talks about finances. The governor offers his version of the budget. Remember, Wisconsin only has every other year is a biennial budget. So they pass it for a two-year period. This year is that that year. So the governor starts off with his budget address and has first possession, has the ball first in the field, so to speak. And then the legislature will have their joint finance committee hearings, and they will formulate a budget. And then the legislature passes their version, governor has his version, and then they have to come to a consensus. If they cannot, in Wisconsin, what happens if they can't pass a budget by the end of the summer, the previous budget just goes back into effect. So the government doesn't shut down like it does out in D.C., but there are no increases. On the other hand, no decreases. It just continues on the way it is. So anyway, that all kicks off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll kick off our coverage around 10 till the hour of 7. So I hope you join us for that. And then stick around as Luke's going to bring in a keg. Not really. But he'll have non-alcoholic beverages, and we'll be here throughout the evening to bring you the results of election night. The Wisconsin Decides 2025 all tomorrow night, beginning at 10 till 7 on the Civic Media Radio Network. However, if you're saying, well, Todd, I'm looking forward to the big Badger basketball game tomorrow night, Illinois at the Kohl Center, have no fear, because those stations that normally carry Badger basketball will do that. So we're only on the network stations tomorrow night that don't carry Badger basketball. And of course, you can find all the broadcast on the Civic Media app or at the website at civicmedia.us. So we got that to talk about as well. Speaking of the Badger basketball team, Sam, you're a Badger alum. Your Wisconsin Badgers, huge win this weekend at Purdue.
That's good to hear. I am not very in tune with sports, and especially basketball, but glad to hear the Badgers are doing well.
It was a big, big game. Because yeah. Purdue, I think, was number 7 in the country and ahead of the Badgers in the net rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And the NCAA now, they come out starting now until Selection Sunday, which I think is like March 12th or so. They have a weekly now update of the top 16 teams. And Wisconsin was kind of predicted to be a 4 seed, and the results came out yesterday. They're a 3 seed.
Ooh.
And Purdue was a 2. Mm. So the thinking is now that maybe, you know, Wisconsin might be in line for maybe a 2 seed if they could keep this going on. But a big game tonight against Illinois. We'll get into this later, but Illinois retired a jersey of one of their former players last night or this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Down at Champaign. It's funny, but it's not. They the whole place is packed, and they raised the banner. Mm-hmm. But unlike when I was there the night they did it for Kaminsky for Wisconsin, in Wisconsin they have the banner in a box almost on the floor of the Kohl Center, and then it's attached to wires or whatever and the bar, and then they raise it. They literally raise it from the box into the rafters, mm-hmm. and so you see it right away. Well, what Illinois decided to do. And again, Illinois is always a little backward in my opinion. But what Illinois decided to do is they decided to raise the thing, but kind of like all rolled up and then push and then a button, push a button and drop it. Exactly. Uh-huh. And so they've got the thing raised, but not open. And they announced it, and the lights are off, the spotlight, and this poor kid or man who's being have his jersey retired, they announce it, and they drop it, and the thing is upside down.
Oh, no.
Upside down.
No.
Yes.
Somebody got fired for
that. I mean, that's literally. I mean, that is the quintessential you had one job.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. It was so bad that the athletic director came out after the game before the coach spoke and did like a 3-minute apology.
Oh,
and,
no.
And to your point, he came just shy of saying the words, somebody will be fired for this.
Yeah.
As well they should, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, I'd be pretty upset if that was me and my number was getting retired.
I know. So we'll talk more about, there was a big call by the officiating crew in this Wisconsin game. Kamari McGee, a great player, got a flagrant 2 and got ejected. And we'll talk about that and why it was an absolutely, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Wisconsin fan. There were a lot of Purdue fans on social during the game that said, look, we're Purdue fans. You guys got hosed. But Badgers came back and got a big win. They play at the Kohl Center against Illinois tomorrow night. We'll have that on select Civic Media stations as well. But where we're going to begin, before we get into actual newsy news, do we have time for the Adam Sandler clip now, or do you want to do it when we come back?
Maybe when we come back.
I want to come back. Are you a big SNL Saturday Night Live fan, Sam?
I like it. I don't watch it a ton, but yeah. I like watching clips of it, yeah.
I really grew up on it, and I guess, you know, I'm 55, and the show is turned 50 years old last night. And so they had a special Sunday night edition of Saturday Night Live. I think it was live in New York. It was 3 hours or just a little over that. And I found it to be largely fantastic. A lot of the old cast members, Steve Martin, Martin Short, Will Ferrell, all kinds of people who either were on the show as cast members or longtime regular guest hosts. Tom Hanks was there in person. Meryl Streep, who had never been on the show before, made her first appearance in a sketch. So that was really, really funny.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then Jack Nicholson. Great actor, mm-hmm. who, of course, is essentially retired from acting, hasn't been in anything in years, and has kind of just decided to, which is his right, just to not be in public very much. There was Jack last night at the appearance in a kind of a beret in his trademark sunglasses.
Yeah, come out to see the show.
He came out to see it, and he introduced Adam Sandler, who, of course, was a longtime cast member, has come back as a guest host. And, he's also a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And, he wrote the kind of the classic song, Put on Your Yarmulke, Have a Happy Hanukkah, and other great Saturday Night Live comedic sketches, songs like that. We put together a medley of for SNL's 50th anniversary. And, of course, the great Lorne Michaels, who has been the executive producer and at the helm of the show for 45 plus years.
Yeah, since the beginning.
Yeah, right? He's been around since the beginning, and I believe executive producer for 45 plus of the 50 years. He really is SNL. And so Adam Sandler put together a medley. We're going to play a little bit of that when we come back. Also hear some political news as well. Former Republican, National Republican Chairman Michael Steele, giving Democrats something to chew on. He's basically ticked off that Democrats aren't as ticked off as him. We'll bring you that cut from Michael Steele, giving Democrats a little advice. Also, former Republican David Brooks on Trump's purge of federal workers, your phone calls, and more. It's the Todd Ball Show for Monday, along with Sam on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's hair volume from New Nordic.
Hair volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give hair volume a try. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with the results. Hey, where are you? you going?
I'm going to pick up some hair volume right now. My reunion's next month, and I want my hair to look as good as yours.
Hair Volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or your local CVS. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy. Help your hair look full, voluminous, and beautiful again at newnordicusa.com or CVS.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Sam Davidson on the board, filling in for Mr. Zomers, who is off today. Be back soon. And 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 17th, 2025. Talk a little bit about, before we get into the serious news of the day, Saturday Night Live, NBC staple, turned 50 years old over the weekend. A great star-studded 50th anniversary performance. Wanted to play you a little bit, and this is kind of halfway into this medley that was written by Adam Sandler, of course, a longtime cast member, a frequent guest host, you know, had Happy Gilmore and all kinds of other very successful movies over the years, still doing a great job. Came back last night. Here now is a little bit of Adam Sandler, who was introduced by Jack Nicholson last night at this event for SNL, and we'll pick it up just as he's about to start naming off some of those original cast members in this medley form for Saturday Night Live.
50 years of cast members saying, I think our cast is the greatest of all time. But we all know that the first cast was the best. And because of them, we got 4 years of Eddie Murphy, 8 years of Will Forte, 5 years of Jan Hooks and Gilda, 6 of Victoria, 11 of Che, 3 years of Melanie Hutsell, Michael McKean crushed it in 2, 1 of Billy Crystal, 6 of Dennis Miller, 8 of Hartman the Glue. 7 years of Dratch and Wig, 5 years of Terry and Quinn, 4 of Kazurinsky and Klingon, 11 of Armisen, 14 years of Davis and Handy, Schiller and Spiegel, like 25, 18 of Audrey Dickman and Davey Wilson, plus Among and Disco and Bobby Van Ryn, 30 years of Downey, 45 years of Lorne, 6 years of our boy Farley, 5 of our buddy Norm, 50 years of one of us getting to say, live from New York, it's Saturday night, 50 years of standing on home base, waving goodnight. Fifty years of the best times of our lives.
Adam Sandler last night at Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary. You see it while he was saying that part of it, Sam. All the video right behind him on the screen, and he was in front of the Saturday Night Live band, which Paul Schaefer, who was David Letterman's band leader for a long time. Paul Schaefer, one of his first gigs, was the band leader on Saturday Night Live. That's how Letterman, Letterman started on NBC.
Right.
And so Letterman kind of stole him from Saturday Night Live to come on late night.
Yeah.
And so Schaefer came back last night to basically conduct the band and
that's
the orchestra.
Cool.
Yeah. But I mean, you saw all those people from Eddie Murphy to Chris Rock to, you know, Chris Farley, Madison, Wisconsin native. And it just, wow, the amount of talent that's gone through that show in 50 years is...
It's a machine for the up-and-coming new actors and actresses.
It really is. And, of course, I just love Adam Sandler, so, you know, he makes me smile.
Yeah.
So, anyway, maybe you all enjoyed it as well. You can call in with your memories of Saturday Night Live if you want, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also going on today, of course, today is President's Day. Lots of people have the day off. Sam had planned on it until we asked him to come in and fill in, poor guy. But happy to have him here. So this is interesting. So there is a National Day of Action, National Day of Protest today happening here in Madison and around lots of places, capitals, city halls around the country today, being organized by lots of different people. And this is a moment that people are being encouraged to show up, to peacefully assemble and protest, let their voices be heard, to rise up against what Donald Trump and Elon Musk are doing out in Washington, D.C., as thousands of more people are being laid off or have been laid off over the weekend. Many in institutions that Wisconsinites have come to rely on, such as the United States Department of Agriculture, among other things, Department of Labor. List goes on and on. And I think that from people like me, there might not be a lot of argument on, hey, should we review government agencies and find ways to trim fat, to trim inefficiencies? I'm fine with that. But there is a proper way to do that to make sure you're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And I think one of the most telling things, I mean, it's one of those things that's funny, but it's not. I think it was Thursday or Friday, Elon Musk decided to fire a bunch of the people that were in charge of the nuclear codes and didn't realize that they were in charge of the nuclear codes until he fired them. And then when they tried to rehire them back, they couldn't because they didn't have the people's personal emails. They had deleted it already. And so it had to be a scramble. My understanding is at least some of those people now have been brought back. But I mean, you can't horse around with that. I mean, that's not cutting government efficiency. That is irresponsible and putting every American in harm's way. And this is the type of beyond goofiness, irresponsible behavior from Trump and Musk. And so a lot of people are gathering today. We've talked to Trigvi Olsen about this. It's healthy, I think. I've said this before. I'm very privileged. I get to come every day, 5 days a week for 2 hours with a microphone in front of me and tell people what I think, to complain or to be positive. Every one of you out there, listeners, viewers on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, I feel like I've got a family. I've got a group of people I'm talking with about this. But not very few people, as a matter of fact, have the privilege that I do. So I think it's healthy for people to come together today to realize we're not alone, that there are a lot of us out there that feel the same way, and to do it peacefully, without violence, without vandalism, but to let our voices be heard, that we're not going to allow our country, our democracy, to be taken over by people who don't do things the right way, the democratic small d way. There are ways to reform government without having a king simply say, this is the way it's going to be. That was another Trump quote over the weekend. He tweets out basically, you know, when you're helping your country, it's not illegal. I mean, above the rule of law. Anyway, we'll come on back, talk more about this, the weekend's happenings, and also about the state race for superintendent here in Madison, Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. It's the Tylenol Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Monday. Markets are closed for President's Day, but that doesn't mean there's a shortage of farm news this week. We're spending the day with the Wisconsin FFA chapters on Capitol Hill as they ask state lawmakers to increase funding in the state budget for workforce development. That would include more money for the FFA organization to help develop that next generation of workers in the ag industry. You can find coverage of FFA Day on the Hill at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. In other news today, have you heard of a cheese bar? Hill Valley Dairy is a family-run cheese company from East Troy. They're bringing the farm-to-table experience to Milwaukee with their newest cheese bar. Cheesemaker Ron Henningfield tells us what that entails.
Always with the intention of a place where people could gather around cheese, and with us they could connect with their food or their cheesemaker and the farm, and maybe learn if they wanted to learn something new with us or ask questions about cheese, we were there for them. So our first cheese bar opened up a little over 2 years ago in Lake Geneva, attached to our cheese shop there in Lake Geneva. And then more recently, we opened up our second cheese bar, which is attached to our little cheese factory, which is in the Walker's Point neighborhood in Milwaukee.
Ron Henningfield is the cheesemaker at Hill Valley Dairy, which has opened its newest cheese bar in Milwaukee. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a via rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
Our top downloaded story last week helps growers figure out which risk management tool would work best for crops this year. April 15th is the deadline for agriculture risk coverage, otherwise known as ARC, and price loss coverage, otherwise known as PLC. Professor Paul Mitchell with the Rank Agribusiness Institute at UW-Madison is leaning toward ARC this year. You can find more details on his decision at our podcast page, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and brutally cold today, with high temperatures flirting with 0 degrees and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. Tonight, we fall to overnight lows near 25 below, prompting an extreme cold warning, where it could really feel near 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 7 below zero at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
to wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 17th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zomers has the day off. The great late, not the great late, good Lord. The great, wonderful, late, we don't want it late. The great Sam Davidson we're borrowing him from the John and Gordy program, which could be heard every morning from 6 until 8 right here on WMDX. And soon to be a teacher of history to our great kids in Wisconsin.
That's right.
I'm very proud of you for that. That's super cool. We talked about that with Sam a little bit last week. Right now we're talking about, a little bit about the day of protest here happening in Madison and around the country, protesting just the lack of respect for democracy by Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Encourage people, if you want to participate, to do so safely, without vandalism, without harm, but certainly exercise your right to peaceably assemble and have your voice heard. Also go to get into previewing tomorrow's race. Yes, I know it's cold. I know we just got through elections and races. There's another very important primary race tomorrow for every Wisconsinite, the race for Department of Public Instruction Superintendent, Dr. Jill Underle, the incumbent Democrat, being challenged by a fellow Democrat, Jeff Wright, and a conservative Republican, Brittany Kinzer, two of the three. We'll move on to the April 1st ballot. First of all, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for calling in. Happy Monday. What's up?
Happy Monday. Yeah, as far as this corruption in government, that as somebody who worked for the state of Wisconsin and spent a good chunk of my career auditing, pre-auditing payments and then auditing, I didn't see a whole lot of waste. I didn't see a whole lot of fraud. I guess one of the big ones I noticed is that some of the communities weren't quite as scrupulous as they should have been as obeying state bidding law, because that's old-fashioned corruption, awarding contracts to your friends and relatives. I can't say if it was relatives or not, but I did notice I couldn't pay out when they didn't follow state bidding law. And I know Scott Walker and Republicans kind of weakened state bidding law when he came into power. And then for the Republican school superintendent, I wonder if she's going to be as scrupulous in making sure that the private schools and the charter schools actually have to conform to the same standards as public schools, because that's the big beef I have with that. Mm-hmm. Unless you can just say, oh, they're so much better. Well, unless you're testing them, you're not doing the taxpayers any good, because from what I've heard, the outcomes are not any better in the private schools or in the charter schools than they are in the public schools.
Right. No, I appreciate the call, Mark. You bring up a couple of great points. First of all, as someone who served in both the federal and state governments, I think you're absolutely right. In my personal opinion, I saw a lot more waste and opportunities for reform at the federal level than I saw at the state level. I think partly because it's just closer to home, and I think that Wisconsinites tend to be more sensible than people at the federal level. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that's an important distinction, and I appreciate you bringing that up, that there's much less waste and lack of efficiency in state government than there is at the federal government. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but just it's certainly to a lesser degree. Most federal employees and state employees, most federal and state workers, employees that I worked with over the years, most of them were just there because they wanted to help people. Whether it was helping people with an income tax return or be a return that didn't get given to them. Maybe it was Department of Transportation helping a farmer who said, I have to have an access road here and to get my machinery in, to get my crops out. And because I had, a lot of agricultural people now, you're seeing farm families combine. So it's a lot less the man and woman and their five or six kids. And it's much more the brother and sister and cousin coming together to combine an LLC and farm together. That means they're actually buying more land, and it's more efficient for them to buy larger equipment. And so some of these little driveways you see go down into a field along a state road. Well, you can't fit the larger machinery on that access road anymore. And so they want to build an access road. And depending upon where they're at, the state says, well, you know, that's off of a state road and we're not going to allow that by the book. So they call their local legislator. And as a former legislative staffer, I would then call the executive assistant in Department of Transportation. They would work through this and we'd find a way that we could make a waiver, an exception. Maybe the road had to be a quarter mile down the road to make it safer. Maybe DOT had to put some money to make a passageway around that. But you would find a way to do that. That doesn't happen by waving a magic wand. You have to have people there that A, know the law, and the B, will be advocates for the constituents, the people of Wisconsin, to finally get results. That I mean, you could call it a bureaucracy if you want, but that's not inefficient. And I think that that's going to be the big surprise for a lot of folks when things that they rely upon, be it payments or services, simply don't happen anymore. And they say, well, I didn't want that. Well, no, of course you didn't. But that's what we're getting under Trump now and Musk with these purging of people. Thousands of people let go over the weekend, again, seeming to be indiscriminately. And on this race for DPI Secretary, Mark, you're also absolutely right on Jane Mattner and Greg Bach of the great program Mattner on Air, which we're always so very honored that they are our lead-in. You can hear them every morning from 10 until noon. They were talking about this race this morning as well. And to what your point, you know, I come from a family of educators. You're absolutely right. Jane and Greg were right. That our private schools don't have to follow the same rules as our public school systems. A private school doesn't have to take every kid. And many of these kids have physical and emotional challenges, which cost more to hire additional aides to keep them safe and to educate them. Public school can't say, look, that's going to cost us too much. We can't take your kid. Private schools can. So there's lots of, and that's the biggest, probably you're right, Mark, that's one of the big things in this DPI race is that Jill Underly and Jeff Wright both support public education. Brittany Kinzer, being backed by Robert Voss, Republicans and conservative groups, are all about private schools and privatization. 855-752-4842. Let's hear from a great program up front. It's syndicated across Wisconsin. It comes out on WISN television out of Milwaukee. And so up front, sat down with all three of these candidates. I want to give you a couple of clips so you can hear them all in their own words. The primary election is tomorrow. Be a voter. As Luke Mathers likes to say, find out where your polling place is. Go to myvotewi.gov if you're not sure. You can register same day at the polls. If necessary, be a voter. We're going to start with Dr. Jill Underly, the current incumbent of Superintendent of Public Instructions in Wisconsin.
Why do you think you have two challengers in the race?
Well, I think, you know, you always want to have challengers. I think it's important so you can really hone your message and make sure that people are educated as to what the issues are. It's a primary, so I'm hopeful, you know, people will get out the vote.
The governor hasn't endorsed in this race. He hasn't endorsed you. Should anyone read into that?
Not at all. He didn't endorse the last time either when I ran in 2021. There was a seven-way primary. I came out on top. He didn't endorse then either. So I assume after this, I hope he does, but if he doesn't, I understand that too. It is a nonpartisan position after all.
I'm curious, what is your lane in this primary to win? Is it trying to siphon votes from supporters of Jill Underly? Are you coming from the same batch of supporters, essentially?
I think my lane is a lot of people that are directly connected to school.
Sorry about that. I messed up there. So this is, Todd was too poor to pay attention, as my former teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying. He always used to say, remember, never be so poor that you can't pay attention. So that was Dr. Jill Underly, one of the two Democrats. And now the interviewer is Matt Smith from WISN's Upfront television program in Milwaukee. And now here is Jeff Wright, the superintendent of public instruction in Sauk Prairie in southwest, south central Wisconsin, with Matt Smith on Upfront.
What is your lane in this primary to win? Is it trying to siphon votes from supporters of Jill Underly? Are you coming from the same batch of supporters, essentially?
I think my lane is a lot of people that are directly connected to schools. And so I hope it's a nonpartisan lane.
You're talking about working with Republicans.
Of course. Republicans have the majority in both the Assembly and the Senate. Like, we need to work with them. And that's the, I'm a superintendent in Sauk County, which is the most purple county in the entire state. And so I can't get anything done in that community without working with Republicans and Democrats, with faith leaders and business leaders. I get to bring them to the table all the time together.
I've heard people say,
and now this is, that was Jeff Wright, the superintendent of Sauk Prairie. And so now this is the education advisor being backed by Republicans, Brittany Kinzer with Matt Smith on Upfront.
I've heard people say you're the conservative candidate in this race. Is that a fair label to put on you?
I feel like everyone's like, what label can we put on her? No. Some people are like, no, she's this, she's that. I'm like, I'm for the kids, right? And so when I was a principal or a special ed teacher, when I was interviewed, no one ever asked me, well, are you a Democrat or Republican? No, it was, you know, they interviewed me based off of like my skills. If you want to put me in a box, I guess I'm a moderate, but my issue is improving education. And so I will work with anyone, and we have to work with anyone that wants to put kids first.
That was on WISN's Upfront this weekend with Matt Smith. All three candidates there, again, Dr. Underlie, Jill Underlie, the incumbent Democrat, Jeff Wright, one of the two Democrats as well, Jeff Wright, the superintendent of public schools in Sauk Prairie, and then finally Brittany Kinzer, the conservative candidate there as well. I just, for my money, look, I'm not making any outright endorsements here, but Jeff Wright has been on this program. He took time to come on. Really appreciate that. I just like his message. I like his message of working together for our communities, because one of the things, having grown up in Southwest Wisconsin and spending a lot of time over the last couple of years taking this show on the road, if you go and talk to people in their, listen to people, that's a better way to put it. If you listen to people in their communities, very few, if any, people I encountered all over the state. And we were in South Milwaukee and we were in Amory. We were in Hayward and Richland Center. We were in New Glarus and we were in Green Bay. We were in Wausau, and of course here in Madison. I didn't hear anybody tell me during all those travels, you know, I think my public school really sucks. I think we should get rid of it. I wish we'd consolidate. I don't want to go to any school concerts. I don't want to watch our kids play football. I don't want to go to any forensics tournaments. Nobody said that to me. What I heard people say was, I think there's too much spending in Madison. I think we should be more frugal. I see. That's what people say. It's always somebody else's school district. It's not mine. I want my school district to keep funded. And you know what? People put their vote where their mouths were, because while Donald Trump won, all of his numbers went up in every state except Door County, or every county except Door County. But what also happened in many of those same counties, local folks voted to raise their own taxes to support their local public school. So as Tip O'Neill said, late great Speaker of the House, Democrat, all politics is local. If you make it local, you win. And that's what Jeff Wright is doing, is saying, look, as a local superintendent, I can't, yes, I'm a Democrat. I'm running, you know, he ran for assembly as a Democrat. Technically, this is nonpartisan, but he supported. By the way, Jeff Wright endorsed by the teachers. He's saying, look, I'm a Democrat, but I've learned through action, I have to work with everyone. Doesn't matter whether I voted for Harris or Trump. I have to work to make sure our public schools in Sauk Prairie work. And I think that Wisconsinites are just hungry for that right now. Look, I don't care, give a crap who you voted for at the top of the ticket, but take care of our kids. Take care of our public schools. And so that's why I just like Jeff Wright's message. Now, Dr. Underlie has certainly done a lot for our schools, for our kids. I think we have talked about this before. I think the political mistake she made was saying she wanted the whole $4 billion surplus for education. That's just an overreach. And she called out, again, Governor Evers over the weekend, saying that he misunderstood testing, which I find weird, because Governor Evers held the same position she does and was reelected 3 times to that. Back after this, more of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. VoteBeat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and VoteBeat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2, what's worse, a post-Valentine edition. Now, if you are with us on Friday, Zomers is off, and Sam, who has a significant other, he had a big trip up north, and so you had a romantic evening with your girlfriend the week before.
That's right, yeah.
What a guy. What a guy. Now, are you a, I think I probably know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, if you don't mind. Are you guys into public displays of affection?
I mean, I guess, I don't know if we do a ton, but.
Like holding hands kiss, that's one thing.
Yeah, sure.
But are you going to sit in the park bench and just, you know, make out?
No, probably not.
Probably not. So that's part of the subject of what's worse. It has to do with public displays of affection.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll talk about that because you see a lot of this on Valentine's weekend. I didn't. I stayed inside and had leftovers by myself. That was my romantic Valentine's weekend. But anyway, what's worse coming up in hour number 2, and we'll talk a little bit about the Badgers' big win over Purdue basketball wise, and the terrible call the officials made against Wisconsin. Wisconsin at home tomorrow night against Illinois. You can hear that game on many of the Civic Media radio networks. Right now we're talking about the race for Department of Public Instruction. Coming up, yes, there's an election tomorrow on Tuesday, February 18th, the primary for Department of Public Instruction. Also, I talked a little bit earlier about I've worked for both the federal and the state government. And I say I've seen some waste in government that it is there. And Tom, listening on WMDX in Jackson, says, "Hey, Todd, what waste did you see?" Probably one of the, I'll give you the short version. I worked for former Congressman Scott Klug, who they created a bipartisan, they called it a Gang of 7, Republicans, Democrats. And they looked at government waste. There used to be a House of Representatives post office. In other words, a post office that only served the House of Representatives. It was located in the Capitol. And so what Congress people would do of both parties is they would take their office expenditures, money, taxpayer money, to run their office. And they would have their staff go down and buy, say, $500 worth of stamps or $1,000 worth of stamps to send, quote unquote, constituent letters back home. Fine. Then they would take those stamps up. Then the Congress people, not everybody, but some, would say, you know what? We don't need those stamps anymore. Just take them back down and get cash for it. And then they would get cash, and these congressmen were taking taxpayer money and getting thousands of dollars off of it. You know, pretty good gig. So my former boss, Scott Klug, and get this, John Boehner was a freshman at the time, went on to be Speaker of the House, and a couple of Democrats, they introduced a bill. They got it through. Bill Clinton signed it, and they closed the House bank. And guys like Democrat Ross Tinkowski, I think it was Democrat of Illinois, got sent to prison over it. And so that's the type, I mean, there were and are problems in government. Don't get me wrong. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I just don't think it's right. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tom in L.A., out in Los Angeles. Tom, always a pleasure. What say you? L.A. Tom, are you there?
Did you say me? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. You're up,
yes,
my friend.
I'm so sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay, so I am all for everything being audited, whether it's a private corporation or it's we the people government. What I'm not for is falling into this trap that the Republicans set, which is called waste, fraud, and abuse, when all they're doing is trying to get rid of we the people essential services, so therefore they can give Elon, another tax break, or give Widow Hendricks another tax break.
100%.
This is ridiculous. You know, if you have some problems, like I said, I don't want us to fall into that trap of saying, oh, yeah, there's waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, you know what? There isn't every private corporation. There isn't everything that's out there. There is. And the thing is, like, with this stamp thing you were talking about, it doesn't sound like the program was the problem. It sounds like the people that were abusing the program was the problem. And I think that's part of it. You know, I'm a small business owner, and I don't like it when things – you know, when there's different types of regulations and things like that that make things a little bit slower. But as I'm getting older, as I'm understanding the government more, there is a purpose for it to be a little bit slower. And I'm starting to come around to that, where I'm like going, all right, maybe it frustrates me, but maybe there's a reason behind it going slow. Right. And just like government goes slow, because we have three branches of government. I mean, right now we only have one, but you know, we have three branches of government. The whole idea is balance of power and to go make things go slowly.
Right.
So I would just really, really encourage people to not fall into the trap of just saying waste, fraud, and abuse, because yes, there is everywhere, but this is a totally different animal, because this is all about the billionaires getting a tax cut so they can offset the cost somehow and justify it to the American people that, hey, yeah, we're saving money here. But right. No, you're not. You're basically doing a bank heist, and you're doing it right in front of us.
To your point, Katie Sandlin, and she posted this on Twitter X over the weekend herself. She was formerly with the Education Outreach Specialist with the National Institute of Health. Her job included, I believe I'm saying this right, genomics, bioinformatics, insulin signaling, and web design. And she, along with 2,000 other National Institute of Health employees over the weekend, were told to clear out their offices. My sister has type 1 diabetes. You know, more research on insulin, helping people understand how to use insulin, kind of life-saving stuff. But Trump threw them out. Great call, Tom. Appreciate it. Come on back, hour number two. What's worse? Are you into PDA? We'll explain on the other side.
The Tap. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Secretary of State leads a U.S. delegation for talks with Russia on Ukraine and Saudi Arabia. CBS's Lane Cobb says in Paris,
European leaders are meeting to hammer out a way forward, furious that President Trump arranged talks with Russia that exclude them and Ukraine.
North Texas is about to get its coldest temperatures of the winter, Governor Greg Abbott.
Some wind chills may be as low as zero or even minus zero.
It's now 11 people dead after torrential downpours and weekend flooding in Kentucky, where there's a state of emergency. The president's cost cutters hitting many government agencies, including the CDC and other health workers. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin.
They want to cut back on medical research in America. For God's sake. For what? For tax breaks for the wealthy.
Pope Francis remains hospitalized with respiratory infection. The Vatican says protocols are changing and he'll remain hospitalized for the time being. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.